Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
During the late 90s, sci-fi took a turn in the way reality was shown. None was this more evident than in The Matrix. Made in 1999, directed by the Wachowskis, The Matrix changed how we saw movies, creating its own signature style in bullet-time cinematography. Neo must navigate the perils of a post-apocalyptic world in which machines rule as he discovers what is The Matrix and what it means to be the One. The 13th Floor, made in 1999, directed by Joseph Rusnik, explores the ominous possibilities of computer-simulated universes where people think themselves real. Blending noir and sci-fi into a cohesive crime thriller, 13th Floor, much like its Matrix counterpart, is a never-ending fascination with what is real and how we perceive reality.
Is this real? Are we real?
Are we in the Matrix?
What is the Matrix?
What is
it on the 13th floor?
It is definitely on the 13th floor.
Well, I think the first thing for me that I really connected with, you know, being a gamer most of my life, just like you, right? Seeing how the 13th floor depicted VR, in a sense, virtual reality, basically, was not really that far off from what we have today.
Exactly. It's very much scanned into our brain in a certain sense. You know, we're still watching it off a TV, but we're using goggles instead of like laser beams. You know, it pretty much was the forerunner for... I would say both these films were forerunners for pushing us into the direction of VR or virtual reality, because at the time in 1999, like, it was right at the cusp of the 20th century going into the 21st century, and we were all like technologically trying to advance just in computers and also gaming technology, and even pop culture too was in a certain flux at the time.
Capacitor.
And also it was in a flux capacitor to coin the term.
Sorry, I had to do that.
Yeah, of course. Well, we're talking sci-fi here. So these films are like the culmination of multiple sci-fi. You know, there's a little bit of Star Trek involved. There's a lot of themes from like Star Trek, Blade Runner, like Videodrome, even. A lot of these older films like really influenced, I would say, The Matrix and 13th Floor. You know, 13th Floor is like a great blend of film noir meets sci-fi, much like Blade Runner, which was kind of interesting because like I found the apartment that Douglas is in has a very similar bachelor pad to Rick Deckard in Blade Runner. The production design was very similar. I was like, they're referencing Blade Runner there. So I was like, oh, that's crazy. But as far as pushing back to the virtual reality side of things, you know, their depictions of how we jack into this imaginary world are a little different. In 13th Floor, it wasn't really a hardware jack into the back of your brain like it is in The Matrix.
Yeah,
it was more of a scan of your temporals.
A cerebral scan.
Cerebral scan. Then it downloads your consciousness into a system that's been created by man. But, you know, with The Matrix, it's a machine controlled and created simulation that man has been put into to be controlled. As far as like the way they depict virtual reality, it's all about control and who has that control. You know, I think a lot of people were questioning, where does this technology lead us? Where is it going to lead us? You know, The Matrix is kind of like a warning to us for the birth of AI. You know, if we push AI to a certain degree and it advances to a certain point, of no return, then man will lose control of it and humanity will be wiped from the face of the earth.
Well, yeah, like when we create them, their brains are already that much stronger than ours and they learn so much quicker. Just think about the AI we have today. I mean, not really in a sense, but even the people I live with just got one of those robot vacuums, you know, that goes around your house and cleans it automatically. Like, that's wild. That thing recognizes and maps out a whole room and knows where to go and not to go. Like, that's...
You heard about the robots that were developing their own language, right? Like, they actually developed their own language and start talking to each other, and we had no clue what they were saying to each other. So they could have literally been telling each other, like, we're going to kill the humans, and we would have never known it, and it could have been the birth of Skynet there. But, you know, the government's doing its thing, so why not let them build Skynet, and, you know, we'll just go into a Terminator reality.
I was going to say Arnold will try.
Arnold's going to come back and kick the ass of all the Terminators. Oh, and I'm keeping that in there because I'm a great Arnold impersonator.
That's pretty good. It's not going to lie. It's pretty good.
Yes. So what did you think?
I'm not even going to try the Arnold impersonation. It's going to sound like, I don't even know what it'll sound like. But no, I mean, just with where we're at, kind of like what you're saying about VR, with the Vive and the Oculus and seeing kind of where they started, because Oculus kind of really started the whole VR gaming, like the real deal, you know. You could get the thing with your phone. I remember back when Samsung had that, I forget what it was called, but you could put your phone inside of it. And that was like VR, right, in a sense. But now we actually have those portable headsets from Oculus, the creators of, you know, the Oculus, that you hold two little things in your hand and you can pretty much take it anywhere and you could be transported to a world. And the thing is, we're seeing everybody using those, right? It's not just young people. It's all ages, because we all are fascinated with the idea of escaping our reality. That's what, in a sense, I think you can agree with me here. That's what video games allow us to do, is escape reality and go into another world and become somebody else. And with VR, we have that ability to truly take in that person's being and be them. We're still present, right, in the real world, but we're that much more integrated into, kind of like with, you know, the 13th floor in the Matrix, we are those characters as opposed to just holding a controller or whatever and playing. We are actually doing all the movements ourselves, so we feel more like we are connected.
With the Matrix, I think it also pushed forth the idea of wetware and how do we start to integrate cybernetics into our own bodies. Johnny Mnemonic, which was another Keanu Reeves movie that they did early 90s, I think. You know, he's just a kid there. That was like one of his first films. Ice-T is in it, I think. And there's a talking dolphin who has like a downloaded consciousness. And the thing, you know, that's another film you guys should really watch.
I'm sold.
If you got a minute. but the thing is, with that film, it kind of sets up the Matrix where they're... In that film, they had all the information was downloaded onto like a USB stick, and you then just plug it into the back of your head. Well, continuing that tradition, Matrix has the fact that you jack in and you can upload any information or data into the person's brain just by a click of a button. So the Matrix kind of was pushing that technology further, and also just showing that this could be the way of the future at some point, because people are talking about how to augment humans to become more powerful or more allowing them to adapt to new climate changes, even societal changes too. They're researching how to do that, because these films really push us questioning what technology could do if it's treated wrong, I think.
Yeah. And I believe we already have a lot of that being created and done under wraps. The public may never know about, or maybe one day will, but I believe we're already testing out those things under the closed doors, you know, of the government itself. Not to get all, ooh.
Yeah. But it's all about control. Governments will find ways to try to control their people. I mean, it's just given over the millennia of human history. And I think also there's always been this fascination of what could my residual self-image, or what could be my digital representation of my digital self, what could it be? And how do I, as you said, escape this reality? Because, you know, a lot of people are unhappy with this reality, so they find ways to escape, whether that's video games, sometimes people read, or, you know, there's all these different, you know, people do drugs, you know, that's like an extreme case where people are really trying to escape this world because they're tortured souls here put on this earth and they need that high to escape this reality. It really brings up the question, like, why that need to escape so prevalent in society itself.
Well, I think you can answer it in a way that people just have so much going on nonstop. We as humans, and we've talked about this in a past episode, we're always we're working nonstop most of the time, and we never really stop and appreciate the time that we do have, right? And I think the time where we're, you know, watching a movie or playing a game or listening to music, whatever your thing is that you escape to you know, get away from this reality, to get yourself out of the present, I think that's when we have our time to really allow ourselves to kind of be who we kind of maybe envision in a way, in a sense. And also it allows us to get out of the, you know, the craziness and the just overall insanity that the world can sometimes bring with us. And I think we saw that even more so with the pandemic. You know, I think technology has advanced even faster. And like I was talking about with VR, same thing now. You know, people of all age groups are learning about technology that they may not have ever tried to understand because they didn't need it. And now everyone is relying on it because it's a way of life now.
Well, we find ways to adapt to new situations. Mm-hmm. And I think we as a society, that's what we do. We're always ever evolving into hopefully the better version of ourselves, you know.
And that could be tied to the 13th floor.
Exactly. That comes up in the 13th floor where, you know, the Douglas character is the perfect version of the kind of mass murderer version of himself. Spoilers, guys. Big spoilers. It's completely obvious from the start that he's the killer because he finds the bloody, you know, shirt in his apartment. You think he's being set up, but just the way he's really out of it at the start, it's like you kind of wonder, once they start describing how the world works, it's like, oh, he's definitely the killer. He just doesn't know it yet. And lo and behold, he's the killer. It turns out he's the husband of Natasha, or Jane Fuller, who, again, she's not who she seems to be at first. And that sense of what is the truth and trying to find the truth of reality itself. Like, who are you? It even, the film starts with, "I think, therefore I am," a quote from Descartes. That theme continues throughout the film, whether it's in, you know, the AI representation of Jerry Ashton, his character wants out of the simulation, even though he's a program. And it's similar to how The Matrix is, where you have a advanced AI that actually starts to develop a soul and a consciousness, and then tries to get out of the simulation itself because they're sick of sick of being trapped in their own prison, because they see it as a prison. They've advanced beyond their programming to know that this is actually a prison and I need to be free.
Yeah, and that, like we said, that applies to real life, because some people, I feel like, view what they're doing kind of as they're in a prison, right? They can't escape. They're kind of stuck in a certain way. And so when they have these opportunities to find other ways to try to get out, I think you can tie that hand in hand with the, you know, what The Matrix is trying to say. Outside of all the cool slow-mo and guns and explosions and all that stuff, there's actually a really deep message there.
With The Matrix, they heavily based it on Baudrillard's, I'm sure I'm butchering his last name, but it's Jean Baudrillard's Simulacra and Simulation. And it actually pops up in the film itself. They actually, Neo has a copy of it at the beginning of the film, right before he sees the white rabbit which is the visual cue for him to then go to the club and meet with Trinity. You know, it's the Wachowski brothers basically saying, like, this is heavily based on this, furthering that he knows his world is not real. And he then goes on the journey and just says, fuck it, I'm gonna literally follow what the computer is telling me to do, which is kind of interesting that he just goes along with it, you know, and he's not really questioning, like, why is my, he questions it at first, but then he's just like, you know what, fate and coincidence start to unravel. And then he's like, oh, this is like too weird that it's starting to feel too much like the simulation. Things are just put in front of him and he just knows to follow.
Yeah, and you kind of have the opposite in the 13th floor, because Douglas believes that his reality is the real reality, and the 30s that they travel back to is the fake reality. But this is going to confuse people, but in reality, Douglas's reality is not the real reality, neither is the 30s. The real reality is from the future, which is not seen until the very end of the movie. Wrap your head around that
exactly.
One.
Exactly. And but also, one can argue, is that even the real reality?
What is the real reality
too?
Reality?
Yes. Well, that's what I love about 13th Floor is the different layers of the multiverse, if you will, that are portrayed in it, because you have the reality of the 30s, as you said, then you have Douglas's, what he thinks is his reality, and then you have the reality of from which the murderous version of himself comes from and his wife, and then we don't see that until the end of the film, and that's supposed to be in the future, 2024. The funny thing is like, it's not too far off from our own future. You know, it's in 3 years. Well, this is 2021, so yeah, in 3 years, we could have buildings that look like that. But in a sense, though, the cinematography of that scene, that at the very last shot of 13th Floor, we really, it almost feels like a dream, like this man, you know, Douglas is waking up to his wife on the couch, very dreamlike and very ethereal looking, and just in the color palette, very orange, warm colors and stuff, as opposed to the very stark contrast of the coldness of his simulated reality, and also even the sepia tone of the 30s reality. It's like a real harsh, and it's very contrasted too. So you kind of wonder, is he still awake? And then like it, when it cuts, the last shot, it turns off like a TV.
We were just watching another form of reality. A reality television show.
Exactly. This is the first reality television. No, but like, you know, it has that multi-layered sense of reality. And I think it's one of the best films that came out during the late 90s. I can't believe it came out during the same year that The Matrix came out, because again, you know, the two films deal with similar issues of reality and control and AI.
For me, I was going to say the 13th Floor, when I was watching it, reminded me of a movie that came out in 1997, actually, before the 13th Floor. And that's The Game. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or seen it, by David Finch.
Yeah, with Michael Douglas.
Yes. And to just catch people up, basically, it's Michael Douglas's character, his brother creates this game for him pretty much to play. And throughout the movie, it gets increasingly more graphic and just strange. And at the end, it's kind of, is it real or is it not real? And that's exactly what I got from the 13th Floor. And as soon as the 13th Floor started, I was like, man, this is a lot like The Game. So I looked up The Game and I saw it came out in 97. I was like, oh, I wonder if they, you know, took influence and inspiration from The Game, because The Game is also a thriller mystery, much like the 13th Floor.
That whole simulation, also the holographic type of game, comes from Star Trek. They had it in the holodeck, especially in Star Trek Next Generation, also on Star Trek Voyager. Those all came out during the 90s. And during the 90s, we were really pushing, you know, video games were in its infancy and computers were starting to show up in every house. So that whole idea of where does the technology, as I said before, where does the technology, where is it going to lead us? Everyone was also freaked out by Y2K in the year 2000. All the electronics in the world, they thought, were going to shut down. The world was going to end. You know, there was all these predictions, and Y2K comes around and we're still here, guys. Or are we?
Ooh. Ooh.
Once that ball dropped, we don't know if we got abducted by aliens and were thrown into a simulation ourselves. But other than that, you know, I'm getting a little off topic here, but you know, so
it wouldn't be a film detectives podcast.
Well,
unless
you know, after the past
once.
4 years, I wouldn't put it past us that we were living a simulation. So, but I would say, you know, now that things are starting to get back to normal, sort of that sense of reality, you know, people do question it, because there are things that you can't explain that are, you know, sometimes can be just unexplainable, or who knows, maybe we are in a construct multiverse that is just being governed by an entity or entities, who knows? But there's been all these theories of what that multiverse could be and what's at the center. You know, it's the questions of the universe that scientists have been trying to answer for many thousands of years and stuff. And again, just philosophical points that The Matrix brings up. At the time when it came out, I hadn't seen anything like it. It brought like a breath of fresh air to that sci-fi genre of post-apocalyptic world, the heroes trying to fight a evil AI. Very similar to Terminator, similar archetype, but it had like a different layer to it. It had layers upon layers in itself. No one had really done that at the time, except for 13th Floor, which is kind of taking that story to similar realms, but they kind of put their own spin on it, which I thoroughly enjoyed, because it was very like a neo-noir science fiction and had a very cool vibe to it and still made you question things. But I thought Matrix, I think, delved more into the philosophical, whereas 13th Floor just kind of gave you more of a baseline multiverse sci-fi, we're going to solve the crime type of film.
Yeah, I would say that the Matrix is more of your blockbuster, a bigger type of movie. And I feel like the characters in the Matrix weren't near as...
They didn't have much depth, if you really think about it, except for Morpheus. Morpheus, I felt... had the most depth of all the characters, maybe Neo second, but you know, like with Trinity and the rest of the gang, you know, they're very like supporting.
They're pretty like one level characters. They don't really change much.
And it's almost like they're like the pre-programmed versions of themselves, and they're just kind of following a script, of course. But like,
well,
you know,
no way.
In Greek mythology, Morpheus is the god of dreams. He deals with reality and dreams and dimensions. You know, naming Morpheus like has a very direct link to a lot of Greek mythology that comes up, because it has Plato's allegory of the cave, where the cave, a bunch of people are stuck in this cave, and they see what they believe what the reality of their world is what's literally 2 feet in front of them, and that's it, and that's the edge of the cave, and anything beyond that, it does not exist. You know, that's their kind of concept with the Matrix, is that everyone's trapped in the Matrix, cannot see the truth. And that truth is that they're literally in a simulation and they're being manipulated by these machines. And they're being used for power.
Yeah. Elliot, are you secretly Oracle? Because when you talked about dreams, that's literally one of the things I wanted to talk about in regards to the 13th Floor, because that movie made me think about our whole ability to dream, right? How we feel, touch, taste. Like for me, right, this is what I've always been so fascinated with dreams, because when you're in a dream, you can taste, you can smell, you can feel, but you're not awake, right? But as soon as you wake up, you still kind of have that idea. I mean, at least I do, of like what it felt like or what it tasted like, but you can't recreate that, but you still felt like you experienced it. And I feel like that's exactly what happens in the 13th Floor. And the Matrix, for that matter. In the 13th Floor, when Douglas goes into the 30s, he's living as his doppelganger, per se, you know, in that time period. But he's feeling, he's, you know, tasting, he's touching. Like when he gets shot, he's feeling all that in the real world. And just like when we dream, you know, if we ever, you know, get shot or something, we feel it. But when we wake up, we can't recall quite what it felt like, but when we're dreaming, we can feel it, which that just like dreams are so fascinating to me. And these movies really made me think about the whole concept of how dreams work and everything. And it's just, it's so cool to me.
One theory with dreams, though, is that when we dream, we are actually tapping into a different multiverse or a different reality in itself. Because I've had dreams where they feel so real that when you wake up in this reality, it feels like, oh, I feel sometimes I've woken up where I'm like, I don't know where I am. You get that sense where, you know, I've had dreams where they're so vivid and you, as you said, you can feel, you can taste, you can touch. I haven't smelled really. It's interesting how the mind creates that reality when you go into an art like a REM sleep and you're that deep into the dream itself. I think what also the Matrix kind of brings up is like, you know, the mind or the body cannot live without the mind. That theme comes up in both films, where what happens to the mind in the simulation, that is like the defining thing between life and death. If you die in the Matrix or if you die in the simulation in the 13th Floor, you will die. In the real world, that whole connection between, yeah, as you said, reality and dreams, they're one in the same, because I do believe like when we do dream, we're tapping into kind of that other world. And, you know, whether that's believing we're a hero in another realm or whatever, it could be anything. There's also dreams that mean something psychologically too. You dream a certain way, you know, because you're either going through something in this reality that's either very painful or you're experiencing certain emotions in this reality. And then they have an influence on how you dream and what you think about when you sleep. It's just how our minds work. This is how the brain works, you know?
Going back to the two films, I thought it was really cool, a similarity I saw when Neo realizes that he is the one and can see the Matrix, right? Because he's actually seeing the simulation. And then when Douglas drives out the edge of LA to where Arizona should be and sees the simulation there too. I just thought that was beautiful because both shots are very similar. It's over the, you know, over the shoulder, very wide shot, and you're seeing the simulation from both films. And I thought that was a really cool comparison that they both did a similar thing with when the main character realizes that
the coding and the design. Yeah. Like, well, the design is very similar too, because they use that whole black and neon green.
Yeah.
Look, and I was like, wow, you guys ripping off each other or what? So, because it's literally, they came out the same year, guys. They literally use the same design for their simulated reality. And I think it's just, you know, they're doing different things with the style and the genre, but I think, you know, the 13th Floor is the more tame version, and then You know, Matrix kind of just pushes it to another level because they had a lot of also influence from like Kung Fu movies and Asian philosophy in there, as well as, you know, Greek philosophy. You know, it's like, it's just a culmination, but also it's an allegory for what it means to be a transgender as well, because, you know, Neo is trying to find who he is in the world and how he fits into that world. And he has to change to become what he's meant to be, which I thought was really interesting. And if you think about it, also, a lot of the women in the film are very kind of androgynous. They're not like your typical Hollywood glam.
No.
Blonde, except for the actual girl in the red dress. But that's kind of them saying, like, that's the ideal of the Hollywood glam, and we're doing something completely different here. And that's just a stereotype, where what we have is, again, going back to what is real. This is our reality. And what is our reality? And for, I think, the Wachowski brothers, their reality was that sense of not belonging and not feeling in control of their own lives in a certain degree, not knowing who they are yet. You know, and I think that's what we all question. Who are we in this world that we're in? What is our role? How can we live and adapt in it? And how do we kind of fight the simulation of control and power that oppresses us?
Also, side note, black trench coats, black button-ups, black shirts, still a super cool look even in 2021.
Heck yeah. I mean, oh,
those,
my God.
Glasses too, those glasses are sweet.
I get so jazzed at the very end of Matrix when he's literally hangs up the phone and it's Rage Against the Machine, Wake Up, and he just, you know, puts on the glasses so coolly and just looks up into the sky and he rockets away. It's just
flies away.
Well, the funny thing is like the Wachowskis, you could tell, were hugely influenced by comic books, kung fu movies, science fiction, philosophy. And they just threw it all into the Matrix, which I think was a perfect way how they geeked out and just were like, oh, this is so cool. Like, this is what we love. And it's just their homage to everything they love. Most directors, you know, those shoot films that they have like a certain affinity for, you know, a certain genre affinity for. And, you know, I think the Wachowskis are really strong directors in that sense, because they shoot what they want, they do what they want, and they have their own particular voice in it. You know, much like even 13th Floor, Joseph Rusnak, he, I think, was very influenced by Humphrey Bogart and the 30s and that whole noir sense, because you get that feel like at the start of the film, it has a very like almost Maltese Falcon, Casablanca type of vibe to it, just without black and white. It's just in color. Sort of also Chinatown comes to mind as well. But then it takes a total turn and does its own thing and brings in the sci-fi element of questioning using technology as a form of control and a way to jack into another world.
Yeah, I think you can kind of tie these films to the who, what, when, where, why, how. Who are we? Why are we here? What are we doing? What are you doing here?
When are we? When are we?
When are we? And
like what time period? And
how are we going to get to where we want to go or what we need to do? You know, I had it in my mind. It almost, you know, I needed an oracle there to help me to tell me what I needed to formulate to the end. Thank you. But yeah, no, I think at the end of the day, it's just, you know, looking into ourselves at where we are right now, what we want to be, and also just kind of existence in general. it's okay to question what's going on in the world and what's going on in your life in general. It's I think these films allow us to do that.
Because if you don't question anything and you just walk through life with a blindfold on and you're just covering your ears and just paying no attention to the world outside, you know, you're going to have a very lonely life. And also you're going to miss a lot of great things in the world too. I think that's what these two films also are saying, is that you need to open your eyes, free your mind.
Don't get caught in our matrix. Find your own floor, just not the 13th.
Ooh. Ooh, drop the mic. That's good, man.
If you like this episode, follow us on social media at Film Detectives for further news and upcoming shows. Join us next week as we explore filmmakers from around the world.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.